this. But I do have good news to share with you today. Robert, will you back off just a little bit? I'm a little bit hot. I might get a little excited. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. I want you to ask yourself a question: what's my life supposed to look like? Not like somebody else's, but what's my life supposed to look like? See, we live in a generation that, or live in a society, not a generation, but we live in a society, and we are blasted with social media on every front. You can't drive down the road without nearly getting took out by somebody on their cell phone, checking something. Email, text, Facebook, Twitter, whatever other stuff is out there. And we live in a society to where most people look at other people's lives, and it might be their Facebook life, but it's what we perceive as their life. It might be the rich and the famous or something like that. And we think within ourselves, I wish that was my life. I wish my life looked like that. How many of you have had that thought before? You don't have to raise your hand, but just you can raise it in your... You've had that thought, I wish my life looked like that. And the thing is, that person that you wish your life looked like, they were wishing their life looked like somebody else's. Saying, I wish my life looked like that. And it looked so glamorous, and it looked so awesome, and it looked so fulfilling. I'm not talking about all negative stuff. It looked so fulfilling. And we have to ask ourselves, what is my life supposed to look like? And we're on this journey not to emulate somebody else and be somebody else, but we're on this journey to, Liam Brett's got a little phrase that they use, I'll catch every once in a while, it's like, do you? I like that. I like that phrase, do you? I can't do them or I can't do everybody else, but I can do me. But the question I have is, what is me supposed to look like? The question for all of us today is, what is me supposed to look like? I'm convinced that this journey that I'm on and this journey that I hopefully we're on together is a journey where we transcend from living a redeemed man lifestyle to living a resurrected man lifestyle. Because I believe that most of the church settles and is satisfied for being redeemed man. It's glorious, isn't it? I'm not caught up in my sin nature anymore. I don't do the bad stuff that I used to do. God's delivered me from this and this and this. My sins are forgiven. I've got my ticket to heaven punched, so I'm not going to hell, but I've gained heaven. And so that's my hope. That one day I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus. And that is a glorious hope. I'm looking forward to that. But that doesn't start the day I die. It starts the day I said yes to Him. And we come in and we settle for a redeemed life when He's called us to live a resurrected life. And there is a difference. We can't let go of our past or our current state because we're afraid that's as good as it gets. How can it be any better? I've got a good home. I've got gorgeous children, a lovely wife that adores me, that knows that I'm the junk. How could it get any better than that? I'm saved. My name's written on the Lamb's Book of Life. So let's just kick this thing on the interstate, stay in my lane, and enjoy this ride. And one day I'll get to spend eternity with Jesus, and isn't it going to be awesome? The only question that I have for you is, what if the lane that you're in right now is not the lane that He's destined for you? What if the life that you're living right now is a good life and it's glorious compared to what it was? But the Word says we're from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. And what if my good life is the worst enemy of my best life? What if the life I'm living is not the life He has destined for me, even though it's better than my peers? I can bask in my marriage. I can bask in my home. I can bask in my salvation. I can bask in my realm of influence. But what if the best is yet to come? What if there's more on this glorious journey? What if there's more power? What if there's more influence? What if there's more intimacy? What if there's more hearing from the Father, hearing from Holy Spirit, flowing in a realm of influence where I actually change culture instead of just complaining about culture? See, most of us, we're real good about complaining about culture and complaining about it's funny to me, every generation complains about the generation behind it. I guarantee you the great generation lamented over the hippie generation. What we call the great generation. I bet they look and says, my gosh, we fought the great war for this so they could burn flags and rebel and smoke pot and have free sex and everything else. I bet they just were tore up about that generation. And then I look at the hippie generation and they complain about my generation. I'm kind of on the tail. I'm in between a little bit. I'm on the end of the baby boomers. I'm officially in the end of the baby boomer generation. But they looked at our generation and they're like, man, they are a bunch of material-driven. The only ideal that they have and only dream that they have is how can I grab the brass ring? And they look at our generation and they're like, y'all are materialistic and career-oriented and you're missing the boat. And then I look at our generation and we look at the generation after us and we're like, y'all are the most jacked-up people on the planet. You're narcissistic. You're lazy. The only thing you've got going on for you is you're good at sports and you know how to play a mean video game. And you know what your generation will do? It'll look at the next generation and be like, oh my gosh. And so we're good about complaining and coming to opinions of things. But what if our life is actually supposed to change culture? How would that really look? Instead of me just living a redeemed life. I'm not knocking a redeemed life. I thank God that the Father received the prodigal back, but to me the beauty of the sons of the story is not only that his eye was on the horizon, not only was it the fact that when he came, the Father went running to him, but what happened after that, and what happened after that was he threw his robe on him and his ring on him. And you know what that said? Not only are you accepted, not only are you loved, but you've got a future. Not only are you accepted and loved, but you've got a future. And that future is one of authority, it's one of influence, it's one of change. It's one of taking this farm to the next generation. And there were probably some servants, and we know there was an older brother who didn't like that. But it didn't change the heart of the Father and what he was wanting to do in this son's life. And so I really want to come in and challenge our mindset and cause us to think this morning. If I can do anything, I want you to leave this place today and ask yourself, what is my life supposed to look like? Because I promise you, it's not what your shallow little friends tell you it's supposed to look like. It's not what social media tells you it's supposed to look like. And it's not even what a preacher standing in a pulpit tells you it's supposed to look like. It's what a resurrected life filled with the Spirit of the living God launches you into. And I look around and I wonder why so many people are frustrated and angry. I don't know about you guys, but people are just angry everywhere in our culture today, aren't they? Me and Lori, every time we go to Atlanta or somewhere, we make that comment. Why are people so mad? I'm a pretty good driver, and I get honked at about no less than 6 times every time I go to Atlanta. Usually get the finger once or twice, and I see other people. was standing in line at the bank the other day, and there was just an irate woman, just so furious about something that was going on in her life. And I'm just like, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. And God has such a life for us that transcends where we're living right now. And you may be here today and you may say, man, my life is pretty doggone good. Why would I want to change anything? That's your worst enemy. We talk about letting go of our past so we can move into our future. A lot of you are shackled by your past. And that keeps you from moving into your future. And that's not always bad stuff in your past. I look at the story of Elisha, and it's an awesome story of Elisha. And I promise I'm going to get to some Easter stuff for you in just a second. But I look at the story of Elisha. And you know the thing about Elisha is he didn't leave a crappy life to follow Elijah. He left a good life. He was wealthy. He had influence. He was plowing a large field with 12 yoke of oxen, with hired servants that were plowing those for him. And he had it good until God came along. I think somewhere in the Word it says that a lot of the stuff that we think is glorious is actually wood, hay, and stubble. A lot of the thing that society will tell our kids is glorious is actually wood, hay, and stubble. It's temporal at best. And in looking at the Easter story and the resurrection life, and that's what I want to talk about, and Leah and I did not talk about Scripture and discuss what we're going to talk about today, but it was exactly what Leah was talking about. I'm going to be in John 14, and I'm going to read a little bit of Scripture, but I just want to throw a backdrop at you on this. The disciples are coming in, and they're in a place where they've been walking with Jesus for 3.5 years. How cool is that? I spent 3.5 years walking with Jesus. I'm laying next to the man when he's asleep by the campfire. I can eavesdrop on his conversations with God. I don't know about that, but that's some prayers I want to listen to. I want to linger a little bit close to that. I am that close to Jesus. How could it get any better than that? Everywhere we go, we draw a crowd. People get saved. People get healed. People get delivered. Everywhere we go. We run out of food, Jesus just makes more food. Can it get any better than that? Me and Lori always ask ourselves the important questions, what's for dinner tonight? No matter where we're going, you know, that's the important question, what's for dinner tonight? And if I was hanging out with Jesus, I'd say, you know, it doesn't matter because Jesus is with us. So I'm sure it's going to be, if we run out, there's something awesome that's going to be coming up. So you're sitting and you're walking and you're living in this. And I hear it all the time with people that they come into church. And they talk about it and they say, man, it is so awesome. I got saved. And I haven't done, I hadn't cheated on my wife since I got saved. And I hadn't drank anything in 5 years. And I don't cuss anymore and I'm not mean anymore. And they tell me all these things that God did in their life. And I'm like, that's glorious, but what's next? And I say, what's God doing in your life? I've got some friends and they're so challenging to me. Every time I see them, first thing they ask me, they say, what's God doing in your life? And I'm like, well, let me tell you. They say, what's God doing in your life? And you know what we do? We hit the reloop button. And you know what it says? I got saved 5 years ago, and I hadn't drank anything in 5 years, and I don't cuss anymore, and I hadn't cheated on my wife in 5 years, and I'm in church now, and I'm doing pretty good. And they say, well, what's God doing in your life? And then we hit the reloop button again. I'm not knocking your testimony, but your testimony is a living thing, not a historical record. I want you to get out of the mindset that that was great, now let's wait for heaven. That's why people get bored in their faith. That's why people think once a month in church is cool. That's all I need. I read the Bible when it's convenient. They don't realize the dynamic. of what God wants to do in the interaction with a family. But I'm going to heaven, brother. I'm proud. We'll spend eternity there. But what's your life supposed to look like? Brandon, what's my life supposed to look like? And Jesus was coming in, and in this time, the disciples had spent 3.5 years with him of awesomeness. Not sure if that's a word, but we'll make it a word this morning. Awesomeness. That I'm hanging out with Jesus, and all this amazing stuff's happened, and we've been praying for the Messiah. And their idea of praying the Messiah so we can get Rome out of here. And Jews can be what they're supposed to be. And God's idea of the Messiah was totally different. It's just total redemption and infilling of mankind. So that they can be one with Him. Just like Adam was one with Him. God's idea of redemption is it's simply something that is that launches us into a Garden of Eden relationship again. That's God's idea of it. And so we come in and we say, what does your life look like? Ask yourself, what does my life look like? And am I doing me well according to what He says it should be? How many of y'all with kids, you haven't vocalized this, but you've thought this, you're better than this? If you've got kids over the age of 3, you've probably at least thought that. You're better than this. You're better than the way you're behaving. Now, Leah always, and Ariel always, I hear it from my girls all the time, telling my grandchildren, make good choices. And you know what she's saying? You still try to say it to your boys, and they think they're grown anyway. I can just hear you, Austin, make good choices today. Yes, Mom, I will. And you know what you're saying in that? Make choices that are equal to who you are. Make choices equal to who... Oh, sorry about... Didn't mean to get up in your stuff here on your Easter Sunday. You look looking good this morning. I like the pants. Sharp. But make choices that are equal to who Austin Stanford really is. Live a life that's worthy of what God saved you for. Live a life that's worthy of the Holy Spirit living inside of you and dwelling inside of you. How many of y'all watched the movie Saving Private Ryan? Anybody here watch any movies besides me? Saving Private Ryan. Y'all remember at the end of the movie when Tom Hanks is about to die and all these guys shed their, they gave their life to save Private Ryan? And he was about to die because he had took bullets for this guy to save this cat. And he was sitting there and he looked at him and the last thing that he told him, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he was saying, make it worth it. Make it count. Make it a life that is worthy of this sacrifice. Make it a life that is worthy. And in either the beginning of the movie or the very end of the movie, he's standing on the battlefield at Normandy as an old man. And he's weeping in front of the grave of some of these soldiers. And he tells his wife, he says, tell me that I'm a good man. He needs some validation that my life has not been a waste. Not only has my life not been a waste, but my life has been somehow subpar of the sacrifice that was made to get me to this place. And he needed that validation. And Jesus is coming to the disciples, and we're sitting here in John 14 and 16 is where I'm going to be. And I promise I'm going to pull us all together real quick. But Jesus is coming to the disciples, and he's saying, guys, I'm not going to be with you much longer. I'm about to go to the cross. I know you don't get this. Very few of you do, Mary perhaps. But I'm about to leave you and I'm about to go through the Passover cross. And I'm going to shed my blood for humanity. And this is totally, they're not getting this. They're not hearing this and seeing this because I really think they don't want to. They want this to go on forever. Why is God going to bust up my little life? Because it's pretty doggone good. And Jesus is telling them there's about to be some big changes in this. And your life is not supposed to look like it is right now. And they have a hard time with this. So much to the point that Peter comes in and said, Lord, No. And Jesus turns and looks him dead in the eye and says, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, Peter was not ill-willed toward Jesus. He didn't want Jesus to suffer. He didn't want his end to be the cross, but he didn't realize that the cross was not the end. And also, I think Peter didn't want his life to change. That's why he struggled with all of this. And it's why we struggle with all this. And we resist God and we resist the Holy Spirit. I'm always amazed at people that are afraid of the Holy Spirit. And yet they're some of the craziest people I ever met beforehand, before they got saved. I mean, I'll see them. And they're intimidated by worship because they're not me. And that's the same guys that I used to see at SEC football games with their chest painted. Doing keg stands in the parking lot. But, because they're comfortable in that world, but they're not comfortable in the world that they don't know about. They're not comfortable in a world where they die and so that He can raise them up again and then fill them with His Spirit. And I want to tell you guys, the gateway to the life that you are supposed to live and the life that I'm supposed to live, it goes through the cross, it goes through an empty tomb, but it also goes through Pentecost. I wrote a few notes. I want to read a few of these, and then I'm going to read the Scripture quickly. It says, what is my life supposed to look like? What does a resurrection life look like? What is holding me back from living as large as I'm supposed to live? Many of us are too busy living our lives to live the one that God has for us. Can I read that again? Many of us are too busy living our lives to live the one that God has for us. Our current life steals the future of the life that we could have. Right now, Sydney Hanna's in gymnastics, and she's doing really well. Real proud of her. She's every meet she's been in lately, like five in a row, she's got like best overall in her class. Not just best on bars or best on ball, but like best overall. And she comes home and she's got, you know, from every meet, she's got all these medals that they get. And they're clanking together, and I don't know, she's probably got, ain't no telling how many of them now, you know, because she's racking up and all of that stuff. You know what will happen to those medals one day? I was in our attic the other night trying to clear a path for our heat and air guy. I actually threw away two things. There will be two less things you have to throw away when I die. And I was moving old ski boots that were that big. I don't know why I've still got them. They're dry rot and all that. But I was moving old ski boots. And you know what I was piling them on top of? Some boxes of trophies. Sydney Hanna loves gymnastics and she loves to compete. But you know what her favorite part of it is right now? Coming home with them medals. Because if it's a meet we can't go to, she'll FaceTime with Poppy and Gigi and say, hey, look at these medals that I won. We try to make all of them, but it's a big, big deal to her. But one day those things will sit in a box somewhere full of dust. It would be sad if I went over to your house right now, and I hadn't been over there, but it would be sad if I went over to your house right now, and Tyler and Ambry's trophies are still sitting around on the mantle. I'd be like, whoo. If that's your life, okay, right now, that's okay. But I hope it's not your life in 10 years. Y'all may have a house full of them right now. Dude, y'all going to have to learn to sit in the back, you know, I'm sorry. Your house may be full of them right now, but it would be sad one day when you're bringing your child home and Noah's trophies are still a centerpiece of my home. And you say, this is who I am. And I say, no, that's not who you are. It's who you were. And it was a part of the fabric of your life. It's a part of the tapestry of your life. But it does not define you, and you cannot live there. And we come in, and we have a hard time coming into the next life because this life is so good to us. I'm speaking to probably 80% of the people. If I was speaking to the Blake House or some other guys or something, it might be a different thing. It might be God can deliver you out of the mess. He can deliver you out of the failures. He can deliver you out of the junk. But the problem I find in ministering to most of the modern church today is people are satisfied with a pretty good life. They're like, dude, I got a pretty good job. And I'm saved and I'm going to heaven and I got a pretty good wife and my kids are all right. You know, have to jack them up, but they're just kids. And Brett will get satisfied with that. And that's why I see the disciples, and Jesus came in and said the resurrection life is so much more. Our current life steals the future of the life that we could have. Is our past the best that we have to do with our life? What are the possibilities of a resurrected life? First thing I ask myself is how will I impact culture? How are you impacting culture? Because if you're not impacting culture in your current state, you're not living a resurrected life. Brother, on the night, you're going back to Afghanistan for 2 months. You know what you're supposed to do over there? Besides safely fly people and supplies around? You're supposed to go over there and you're supposed to impact culture. And it might not be the culture of the Afghan people, but it might be the culture of all the United States people that are over there. Because that's a different breed and a different mindset. It's like me going to a bike rally. It's a different breed and a different mindset. And just like you in your world, it's a different breed and it's a different mindset. And we come in and we have to ask ourselves, how am I impacting culture? What does a resurrected life look like? What are the possibilities in a resurrected life? Some of you, maybe it's getting married, raising a family, and you're so afraid of that because everything you've seen is jacked up. And it's fake. And you say, man, I ain't getting married. I'll be in a relationship, but I'm not getting married. Kids, no. Ask Anthony about kids. Woo-wee. I know right now she's number one, but really in the whole big scheme of things, she's number three behind God and Jessica. Because someday you're going to have to say, I give her to some other little old joker that's going to come along and put a ring on her finger. And I know right now that's a foreign concept. You don't like it at all. But that's the way. But we come in and we're saying, I'm afraid of this. But then as you hold that, you're like, this is the most glorious thing. When I'm holding her, I'm holding heaven. Maybe that's what a resurrected life looks like for some of you. Maybe some of you guys starting a business. I'm talking practical too. I'm not just talking about let's float on a cloud with a harp. It might be starting a business. Bruce walked in our place the other day and he was looking around at our place, our business we started 6 years ago. And it's been hard. It's not been easy. We've got like 19 employees right now. And he said something to me. He said, do you realize how many lives you're impacting just where it is right now? Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, every Friday when they go cash paychecks. Maybe that's what a resurrected, maybe some of you guys need to learn to be risk takers. What is my life supposed to look like? What's my future supposed to look like? Some of you guys, it may be homeschooling your kids. That's what it may be supposed to look like. You're not sending them into that every day. If it works for you, I'm not pushing that on anybody. Lee and Brett are doing it right now. I ask them, I say, how long y'all going to do this? I don't know, we'll see. It works right now. That's what resurrected life looks like. Come on, somebody. We could go on and on and on. And maybe with some of you guys, it should lie. You're supposed to be a foster parent or adopt somebody. I love a story I heard the other day. Damon was talking about he was up at Lou Engle's thing up in Washington. Now listen, so I'm not slamming any of us on this. He was up in Washington, and they were having their meeting and assembly and all that stuff, and all these thousands of people there. And he said, we did the usual, we're going to pray against abortion thing, because if you're around Lou Engle, you're going to pray against abortion. And he said, this woman got up there, and she had 10 kids. She birthed mother to four and adopted six. And she's leading in a powerful prayer against Roe versus Wade, against abortion. And Damon said she stopped in the middle of the prayer. And she said if abortion was made illegal today, and she threw out the stat of how many children would need to be adopted every year. She said, if you're not willing to adopt one, stop praying the prayer. All I heard was a baby cry. Think about it. Maybe that's what your resurrected life looks like. Dream bigger than you've ever dreamed before. Dream bigger in your career. I ask people, I say, what are you going to school for? I always like to engage in conversation. You know, first thing I ask you, hey man, what do you do? You going to school? Yeah man, I'm going to school up in Rome. Work two jobs. Tell me about your two jobs. I said, what end game? What do you want to do? I want to be in ministry. That's a God dream and not a man dream. I like that. But we come in, and we don't dream very big on our thing. I say, what are you going to do? Well, I'm majoring in business. No, you're just going to college because you can't figure out what you want to do. And I'm not slamming, and I'm not putting pressure. I'm just saying, dream bigger. I personally feel like the cure for cancer is going to come out of a spirit-filled believer that has committed their life to being larger and dreaming bigger and letting God lead them into revelation on stuff. It's my personal opinion. I personally believe that the people that are going to change the culture the most is going to be the church. And not the Microsoft people. And not the Google people. I believe the church is supposed to provide more clean water for the world than Stella Artois. I applaud the world. I applaud the people that come in and do the Toms. But they're taking the place of people that are supposed to live a resurrected life and are instead of settled for a redeemed life. Let me read this quickly. We're closer to the end. As I said, I'm reading this from the Passion Translation. Jesus is telling and preparing His disciples for a resurrected life, a resurrected lifestyle. He said, loving Me empowers you to obey My commands in verse 15. And He said, I'll ask the Father and He will give you another Savior. I love that, another Savior. The Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like Me, and He will never leave you. The world won't receive Him because they can't see Him or know Him. But He comes in, He said, He's going to give you another Savior. Jesus saved us from the penalty of sin. The Holy Spirit saves us from the power of sin. How do I live a victorious life? It's not just banking it on the fact that I'm redeemed. It better be that the Holy Spirit's living inside of me and guiding me into all truth. The Word says the steps of a righteous man are directed by the Lord. How does He do that? Through the Holy Spirit. See, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You know where the journey starts? Is redemption and then resurrection and filling. This is about being in Him. Not just being impacted by Him, but being in Him. That's why He died. That's why He rose again. He did all the things. He went and He sprinkled His blood on the mercy seat. Eric, He did that so I could gain heaven. But now all of a sudden there's not this huge void in here that means I don't have a relationship with God until someday when I die. I'm 56. I like to think I've got another 30 years. How sad would it be that the high water mark of my life was when I got saved until I went to heaven? Because that's already been 30 years. That means there would be a 60-year gap of me living subpar. Subpar. And that's a negative connotation. I know golf, it's a positive thing. In golf, you want to be subpar. In life, you don't want to be subpar. You like to play golf, don't you, brother? You're pretty good. You have a ringer and all of that stuff. I know I'm modest and everything. But When you go out there, there's two things that drive you when you get on the course. Number one, you want to enjoy the beauty of being on the course, and you want to enjoy the time that you spend on a course. But if you shoot 85, and I don't know what you shoot, but I bet it's better than 85. If you shoot 85, you walk away ticked off, don't you? Why? Because my goal is to be subpar in golf. But yet we go through life and we shoot an 85 in life and we say it's okay because heaven's going to come one day. You know why I don't play golf? Number one, because I suck. Number two, because I don't feel like I can waste 4 hours on a golf course. I'd rather waste it on a trout stream. Quote, unquote, italics around waste. You see what I'm talking about in that? In my life, I'm not all of us. I've known you since you were this big. Celebrated with you and victories and accomplishments and all of that stuff. Sometimes that's our biggest detriment. Is we're like, man, I live a good life. And God said, I know you live a good life, but I've got a better life for you. You know what I would do if I shot 85 tomorrow? I'm not a golfer, but if I went out there and I played golf for you tomorrow and I shot 85, I would walk back and I would tell everybody, dude, I crushed it today. I would. I'd probably text to my buddies that know I'm a non-golfer and say, man, I went and played golf with Eric and I shot 85 today. And if he shot 85, he'd say, I don't want to talk about it. Because we've got to do our life. And I've got to live my life. And that doesn't mean so I can, that means I live his life through me. And it's the most glorious thing that we can ever engage in. Because his thoughts for us far exceed my expectations for my own life. Because you may be satisfied with 72, but God knows you can be a 68. And that part of the pursuit is to get better and better and better. And why can't we live that in our spiritual life? From glory to glory to glory. From deeper to deeper to deeper, to more profound encounters, to more profound revelation, to more profound impact in the culture. I love you guys, but I'm not satisfied just ministering to you guys. I hope and pray people will listen to our podcast. It encourages me when people say, man, I'm listening to your podcast. I hope you go to Afghanistan and say, dude, I got a podcast you need to listen to. Listen to this, cat. It'll change your life. Because I only impact culture. And it's not so I can have a big ministry and say, look at me and all of that. We're not about that. I don't receive a salary, so it's not about so I can make more money. Never have. Cool with that. Awesome with that. But it's about how can we change culture with the good news that Jesus Christ died for you and lived for you so He can change your life and know you can change the world. Amen. I'll validate that one myself. Said, I'll ask the Father and He'll give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me. And then He jumps over here. And He says, but you will know Him intimately because He will make His home in you and will live inside of you. Not just the fact you got saved. But the Holy Spirit. See, we serve this amazing triune God that I cannot explain. Other than the fact He's three persons. He's the Father, He's the Son, and He's the Holy Spirit. Yet He's all one. I know it's crazy and it's complex, but it's experientially, it's alive. And I love and embrace all three aspects of Him, and all three aspects are working in us and through us. And He's coming in. And He said, He'll make His home in you and will live inside of you. I promise that I'll never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. Verse 18, I will come back to you. I love this next verse. In verse 19, He said, soon I'll leave this world and they will see me no longer, but you will see me because I will live again. Now look at what He says. He said, and you will come alive too. He's telling this to Peter. Saved Peter. As saved as you can get before the cross. He's telling this to John the Beloved. And He said, you're going to come alive. That tells me there's more, folks. There's a promise of more. There's a power in more. He said, you're going to come alive too. He's not speaking this to Lazarus. He's speaking this to somebody that is walking and has done all these amazing things. And he said, I know this life is good, but there is more. And he said, after this happens in your life, you're going to come alive. You're not going to recognize your sister when she comes back from simply being in Honduras for 8 days, 10 days, however long she's gone for. I told her before she left, and what I prayed over here and what I wrote in her journal and all that stuff is I believe you're going to find out more about yourself on this trip. You're going to go to minister to others, but this trip's really about you. And that Cindy said that's what she said yesterday. She's having a glorious, glorious, glorious time on this mission trip, and God doing just awesome stuff in her and through her. He said, you're going to come alive too. She was already alive before she left. She's already saved. She already loved Jesus. She was already faithful in the house. She was already a good daughter. She was already all these things. But yet, we have this belief that you're going to come alive again. And Jesus told the disciples, he said, if I leave, there's more than a resurrected life. Or excuse me, there's more than a redeemed life. There's a resurrected life. And they're sitting there and say, man, I don't know about this. He said, I promise you. He said, it's better for you that I go to be with the Father. And they say, how can this be? He said, because when I go to be with the Father, Holy Spirit's going to come and live inside of you. And what I want to really release in this house today is just that question and that spirit of what is my life supposed to look like? How is resurrected life supposed to look like? Not saved life. Not redeemed life. I know saved Adam, and that's good. It's better than lost Adam. Get a high five on that. But that's not what I long for. That's not what I long for. I long for a resurrected life, Adam. You know what your children so desperately want to see? Not just a daddy that doesn't do all the sinful stuff. You know, we got our list down in the South. If you stay away from the list, you're okay. They want to see a resurrected dad. They want to see resurrection life in you. They want to see life in you that is so large and believes it can change culture and change family members. And shape generational stuff and leave a legacy and leave generational stuff. Down there Sunday when you were getting baptized and I know you saw it, but your son's sitting there and just tears streaming down his face. A lot of y'all didn't get to see that. Me and Adam got to see that. Tears streaming down. I bet if you don't look like a Hallmark movie kind of girl, but I bet if you were watching, that's a compliment, not a cut. But I bet if you're sitting there on the couch and watching a Hallmark movie, I bet he don't come running in and be like, oh my gosh, Mom, and his tears start streaming down his face. You know what moved him? The Holy Spirit moving on Dad. Dad being obedient. Dad saying yes. Dad saying, I know I'm saved, but I believe there's more. Dad saying, I'm saved, but I know that God has a different life for me. Even it's good, but God wants, he's got better. He's got better. He's got more. I want our worship experience to be more. I want our prayer life to be more. I want our prophetic movings to be more. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across to the disciples. And that's his hope for David and Tiffany and their crew. And it's not just a mother to two outstanding kids. All the Facebook moms want to do that. It's a mother to the motherless. And it's a father to the fatherless. Dude, you're knocking it in the head in the business world right now, getting promotions and doing good. It seems like every time I turn around, David got another promotion. I'm like, dude, he must be sharp. It's God's favor. But, okay, and I take that too. That's why our stuff's so popular right now. It's just God's favor. But here's the thing. As we see that happening in the physical, God said, I have promotion after promotion after promotion in the spiritual. But it can't come through redeemed life. It only comes through resurrected life. Is everybody getting the difference tonight, this morning? Are you feeling the difference this morning? It's what He has for us. I'm going to read one thing in 16 and then I'm done. I know it's time. We'll all go get a wee turkey and ham. He said, but here's the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the divine encourager will not be released to you. So he says in verse 7, but after I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he'll expose sin and prove that the world is wrong about God's righteousness and his judgments. And then he goes and through talks about all this stuff. And he said, soon you won't see me any longer, but then after a while, you'll see me in a new way. It's to your advantage that I go away, for if I don't go away, the divine encourager will not be released to you. If you do not move beyond the redeemed life, the resurrected life cannot come to you. If you don't kill, place on the altar what you've been satisfied in your whole life, your whole church life, your whole kingdom life. Some of you, it's easy. One thing I found, I don't have to convince a sinner that they're a sinner, they know. I don't have to tell guys that have issues, all of these different issues, dude, you got issues. They know they got issues. You know the hardest nut to crack? To convince somebody that's sitting on a chair in church and think my life's okay because I answered the altar call once and I got in the baptismal pool once to try and convince them that there's more. What's next, Jeff? The geography may still look like the Philippines. How many boys do you say you had living with you now? Four. Started with two. Started with a dream, and then two, and then four. Now you've got plans and designs and all of this, to blueprints actually, for more. It's what resurrected life looks like. Started with one village, and now it's two villages. Heidi Baker started with one, and now she's 10,000 a day that she's feeding with Iris Ministries. What does yours look like? You say, oh, brother, I can't do that. You know what he was? He was a cop in Carrollton. I'd see him riding around town on his bicycle in his police uniform. What's up, Jeff? That's not knocking that. It's glorious. But what's next? What's next? Maybe I'm flying personnel and supplies today in this region. But maybe I'm carrying necessary goods to developing nations. Next. Plane load of supplies. Here. Or here. Or here. I don't know. God may ground you. I don't know. But just don't settle for redeemed. And I'm not hating on redeemed. Redeemed is a beautiful platform. No more than I'm hating on the cross, but I'm glad he's still not hanging there. Come on, somebody. I'm more excited. I can relish her past, but I'm more excited about her future than I was her past. Her past was beautiful to me. But I'm more excited about her future. I'm more excited about Aaliyah getting up and giving prophetic words, hearing the voice of the Lord and releasing it to a bunch of people and saying, this will change your life. What's next for you? What is next for you? What is next for you? What is next for me? And, And some of you, it's got to die. What you're in now. But it's pretty good. But it's taking the place of what's better. It's taking the place of what's better. We all want that fallback, that safety net of this and this and this. You know how I know I'm fully vested in our business? Because there's no plan B. At this point in my life, I'm 56. There is no IRA. There is no 401k. You guys better do a good job. No pressure, Brett. No pressure, Brett. There's no safety net. There's no plan B. It's all in that. But I've never felt more alive than I feel right now. Here's what I want you to do today. I want you to stand to our feet, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I told you I'd wind things up. You know how this started? Y'all look out. There's 30 acres of land here. And there's a house that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people have come to know Jesus in through the years. There's a baptismal pool that hundreds and hundreds of people have been baptized in. Some of you, your salvation is a direct result of what God's done here at Victory Fellowship. You know how this started? Y'all know how this started? Is some of us left good. I didn't have anywhere. I had somewhere else to go. I had something else to do. I was pastoring a mainstream denomination church, and it was rocking. You know, we used to keep up with stuff. But the last year there, we led the county in baptisms in our association. It was doing great. But God said, that's not who you are. And He did all these little tricks on me. Thank God He did. And I had a cousin that I knew had more, Gerald Leeds. And I sit up in his upstairs loft one night. And I kind of felt like Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night. And I said, brother, I know there's more and I want it and I need it. And I prayed to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I asked, and so I received. God healed my wife. Saw her pinned to the floor under the power of the Holy Spirit. God healed her. Before and after x-rays, God healed her. God turned us on to praise and worship. And He said, I'm offering you better for what was good to you. And I'm not saying it's not better for others. I'm just saying for me, there was... For me, there was a resurrection life and not just a redeemed life. And so I stopped singing some glad morning. And I started praying on earth as it is in heaven. That's what He has for you, brother, and that's what He has for me. That's what He has for you. And sometimes we've got to let go of good. Sometimes we've got to kill good. I see some of you guys and y'all run back to old relationships because you feel like you're afraid that God's not going to give you one better. I see it with little girls all the time. They'll run back to the old boyfriend if Prince Charming doesn't come along real quick. Because they said, maybe that's as good as it's going to get. And so they revert back. You know why I like taking my grandchildren to Disney World? And I hate lines. And I hate crowds. But I love taking my grandchildren to Disney World. You know why? Because my four-year-old grandson, when he walks through Disney World, he's got a sword in his hand believing he can fight every pirate in the place. And if at four he believes he can fight a pirate, at 40 he'll believe he can slay a giant. And my granddaughters walk through and they see a castle and they see a princess. And they probably now, I think, own every princess dress that Disney makes. I didn't realize there were so many princesses. My gosh. But you know why I'm awesome with that? It's because you know what they view themselves as? A princess. And when they turn into a teenager and they start dating all these little old boys or a few of these little old boys and all that, if they treat them any less than a princess, they'll say, mm-mm. Because I grew up knowing I was a princess. And my daddy's been telling me I'm a princess, and my poppy's been telling me I'm a princess. If anybody ever treats you less than a princess, wave bye to them. I don't care how cute they are. We'll get all personal with everybody today. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I know you're popular and you're pretty and all of that stuff. But I want to tell you something. God looks at you and He says, you're a princess. And He said, I didn't just give you a saved life. He says, I've got you a promise of a resurrected life. And that's filled with His Spirit. And that's led by His presence. And that's a future. And that's a destiny. And that's a purpose. So don't forget that, okay? All right? If He calls this evening and it's not Prince's talk, hang up on Him. He said, why'd you hang up on me? Because my pastor told me I was a princess this morning. My mama been telling me that my whole life. I'm reaffirming what your mama just said. And we're just echoing what God's been saying about you. Come on, somebody. What does your life look like today? What does it look like today? I want to open this altar up right now. And if your life does not look like what it should look like, I'm not saying you're in bad sin. On the contrary, my life is constantly evolving from glory to glory to glory to glory. And I hope when I'm 60, it looks way better than what it looks at 56, as glorious as this is. So if your life is not what it should look like, I ask you, come to the Lord. Not coming to me, not coming to Victory Fellowship. I'm flawed. Y'all have already seen that. But come to Him. Come to Him. Take the step and come to Him. You say, God, I know there's more and I want more. Come to Him and ask Him for it. And He'll give it to you. Fresh filling. Fresh filling. Some of y'all need to strike a match to your past today. You need to burn it up. You need to burn it up. You need to burn your past. Some of y'all need to burn your present. The mindset of your present, that this is as good as it gets. If this is your high water mark, God should just go ahead and take you home today. But I'm convinced this isn't your high water mark. So if you need more, if you desire more, if you believe He has more for you, then I'm going to ask you, come to Him. Let's go ahead, worship team. Let's go ahead. Let's worship a bit. If you need to move, come on down and move. If you want to take communion this morning, communion's available for you down here. Just respond to Him.
Fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of You, God. I want more of You, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of You, God. I want more of You, God.
this is not all that there is, but it's all we have today. Did you get that? There is eternity to come. Just not yet. I have today. I have tomorrow. How large will you live? In Him. Can't do it on my own. I've tried that, Brandon, and I failed. But when I live in Him, and Him in me, look at pre-resurrection Peter compared to post-resurrection Peter. No comparison. No comparison. No comparison. The leaders looked at him on post-resurrection Peter, and it said that they marveled that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Dude, this cat not from Buck Cannon, Georgia? Cedartown? I know those places glorious. We might as well fill in Mayberry, right? But it said they took note that they had been with Jesus. They took note that she was a woman filled with the Spirit of the living God. Don't know about your doctrine, don't know about your theology, but every time I'm around her, I just, God just oozes from her pores. Love oozes from her pores. The girl you were ministering to last week, she don't care about your doctrine. I'm not saying doctrine's not important, but she does care about the God that's coming out of you into her life. That's what she needs. That's what she needs. She needs a resurrected life, Jamie White. That's what she needs. Man, y'all be that this week, okay? Y'all pursue that this week. Pursue more. Look at your life and say, what is it supposed to look like? What's it supposed to look like? What's it supposed to look like? According to Him. Don't settle for an 85. When God says, man, I built you to shoot a 68. Let's set a new bar. That new bar is there is no bar. All right? There is no bar. I pray you guys have a peaceful day, a blessed day. Go out, enjoy family. Go out, enjoy the beauty of the day. Enjoy the resurrection life that we have in Him. Man, I just speak blessings over you guys. Father God, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for allowing us to come together and celebrate You and to lift up what You did, but Lord, what You're doing right now. What You're doing right now. And I believe that there is more. And I believe that the best is yet to come. God, let us just say yes to that. Whatever it looks like for us, say yes to that. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. And in His name we place all of our hope today. Amen and amen. We'll see you guys Wednesday night. Y'all have an awesome afternoon.